Well, welcome to Gardening Talk, back on 2NURFM. Greg Richard, joined by Judy Sharp as always. Great to see you back, Judy.
Oh, good to see you, Greg.
Very good. We're right into the month of April now, or nearly at the end.
We're nearly at the end, so today we're going to deal with indoor plants, spring bulbs, earthworms, sweet peas, grasshoppers, sweetening garden after the rain, and the autumn annuals.
Right, I can't wait to hear about grasshoppers.
No.
I'm assuming it's not going to be good news.
Bit of a mixed bag today, eh?
So we've got Jerry from Belmont, and he's got a question about garden mulch.
Hello, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Fighting fit.
Excellent. Pleased to hear that.
Well, I hope I can solve your problem.
I hope you can. I have a large yard and mainly natives in my yard. I use mulch on a regular basis, and I use just what they generally call forest mulch.
Right, yep.
Which is anything that's green and growing gets chopped up, and then I've been using that. But the problem is it only lasts for 2 or 3 months. It begins to break down rapidly, makes lovely soil, obviously, but it breaks down, and I'm really looking for something that's more substantial than this forest mulch, and I'm looking for a recommendation, please.
Well, Jerry, I really use a lot of sugarcane in my garden.
Yeah, to be honest, Judy, my yard is too big for sugarcane.
Too big, right.
It really is a big yard.
Yeah. No, well, I have used garden mulch. A young gentleman that helps me sometimes in the bad areas where I can't climb to anymore, he uses garden mulch, and I find it very, very good. Mine seems, but he puts it on very thick, Jerry.
Right.
So maybe that's your answer. Have you tried that to do it really thickly?
I've tried roughly about 75 millimetres in thickness, but... you know, yes, I could go thicker, but, I thought I was putting a reasonable thickness in.
No, Jerry, I think I'll go out and check my back garden that I have to be a mountain goat to get to this afternoon, but I'll do it for you. I'm sure if I put a stick down, he's probably going maybe 100.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
But it's definitely a lot thicker than you're using, so maybe if you like it so much and... you don't want to really change to something else, I'd be inclined to try an area where you do it thicker.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how we go then.
Yes,
thank you.
Sorry, Jerry, that's the best advice I can give you today.
All right, and a very quick question. In amongst all my lovely yard, I have a huge amount of toadstools growing now, and probably everybody else as well.
Yes, it's the amount of rain, isn't it, Richards? Yeah.
Do they cause any problems, or we just let them do what they do?
No, look, you could go along and with your trowel and chop them off at the roots, I suppose. But, you know, it's a lot of work to do, isn't it? Look,
It is a bit.
Yeah, I do religiously get rid of anything like that out of my garden or pots because of my little Boston Terrier. Because, you know, they will eat anything they see. So, but if you haven't got a doggy to worry about, I'd leave them there. You know, just let them die off naturally.
Okay, thank you very much for your help, Judy.
You're very welcome, Jerry, and thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
Well, we've got Victoria now from Rayworth, and she's got a question about planting daffodil bulbs.
Ah, hi, Victoria.
Oh, good afternoon. My favourite flower is the daffodil, and is it possible to plant it in semi-shade, plant them in semi-shade?
Oh, yes, certainly, Victoria.
Good.
Yeah, with bulbs, don't forget over in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, they pop up through the snow and everything. So, no, you'll be right. They'll definitely still flower for you.
A second one is I've got a beautiful apricot-coloured hibiscus that seems to flower most of the year. It's incredible. And I'm very attached to it because it was my mother's favourite plant. And is it... too late now to take cuttings to, and I was going to pop them into some pots to see if I can get them to grow. I have a couple of friends who'd love to have this hibiscus.
No, Victoria, I'm sorry. You are a little late.
Right.
Yeah, look, I'd wait now until the spring comes.
Right.
Which, you know, will happen fairly quickly, of course.
Right.
We'll be looking to get rid of winter Now that we're getting rid of the rain, I hope. I better check with Greg on that one.
I think we're fine for the next couple of days.
Well, when I cut them, a friend of mine dips her cuttings in a bit of honey.
Oh, yes. Yep, that is a good idea, but you can get rooting powder.
Oh, good. I think I'll pick up that.
From memory, it's called Rutex, so you can't go wrong.
Right. Oh, look, thank you very much.
That's okay. Thank you, Victoria, for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We've got Bruce from Wall's End, and he's got a garden mulch update for us.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. We welcome it.
How you going? I've been using eucalyptus mulch and forest mulch for a lot of years. I've been doing this job for 36 years.
Right.
And I used to use wood chip, but it gets there and attracts a lot of bugs, a lot of white ants, everything like that.
Now I've
been using for a long time now the forest or eucalyptus mulch, and he's putting it on too thin.
Well, that's what I said, Bruce, but he's got a very big garden.
You've got to put it on really, really thick.
Yeah.
And eventually with it raining and whatever, and you're walking on it, it'll sort of pack down a bit, and it'll last forever. I've got people that I've put it on 12 months ago and it's still there.
Yeah, well, Bruce, you know, the gentleman does have a really large garden, and I suppose that's why he hasn't done what you and I would do, because...
But that's the only way you're going to fix the problem, by putting thick, really, really thick of forest or eucalyptus mulch, and it all binds together.
Yeah, it's great. Now, Bruce, let's hope
you don't lose it.
Let's hope that he's still listening.
Well, that's it. So I was just driving along and I heard it and I thought I'd let you know.
Look, thank you very much, Bruce. I'm glad you went to the trouble of letting us know. But I did recommend that he wasn't putting it on thick enough. So
that's right.
Between you and I, if he's listening, I hope he gets a message. Thank you.
Anyone that wants to mulch their garden, use the eucalyptus or forest mulch. That's the best stuff to use.
Good on you, Bruce. Thank you very much for the call.
We've got Suzanne now from East Maitland, and she says something is eating her Eucharist lily.
Yes, it's very irreligious, isn't it? It is.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, yes, it is, Susan, isn't it? It's a beautiful lily.
Judy, how are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. I have one. My niece is listening. She lives in Lochinvar, and she always has to get more flowers than me, and she does. I don't know why, but she actually gave me my plant. But it doesn't perform like hers does. So I'm thinking, Suzanne, do you think it's a bit colder up there and the lilies like it better?
It's growing really well. I was telling the young fellow, I've moved from Aberglasslyn down to East Maitland only a month ago. And when I was at Aberglasslyn, it came out as was absolutely the best flowering it's ever had. I've had the thing for probably 20 years and it was the best flowering that I've ever, ever had. And it's lush and green, and I've moved into East Maitland and something's just chewed off the new growth and they chewed the leaves to absolute pieces.
Oh, and Suzanne, it sounds like grasshoppers. It does sound like grasshoppers.
Haven't seen one.
No, you never see them. They eat and they fly. I've got a real problem with them at the moment, actually. So,
How do I get rid of it? Because I've got snail bait everywhere. I've got mice bait in case it was mice or rats. I've got that down. It's on my back porch, so it gets the warmth but not the direct sun.
Right, and it's up high, isn't it?
Yes, it's up on the last, like up on top of the back porch.
Right.
When you walk out the back door and go down three steps, it's sitting up there, absolutely thriving. It looks beautiful, lush and green, and the poor thing's just full of holes.
Oh, that's sad, Suzanne, but tell me, darling, have you got a lot of shrubbery around you or bush?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's where your grasshoppers are hiding.
Okay.
And you need to go over there with some spray. I generally just use a pyrethrum spray. But I have used other methods along the way, and I can't beat them. So good luck with that one. But try the pyrethrum spray around the bushes and shrubs, because that's where they're hiding. They're going to eat and run, eat and fly. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. We've moved into my husband and I have moved into an absolutely beautiful little place with established gardens, and I grow orchids.
Right.
And he's built me a fernery, and the orchids are absolutely thriving, and they're growing, not much as touching them. And, but the poor old Eucharis lily, it's copping a hammering.
Suzanne, could I suggest you move the lily into the little house, the little glass house?
Oh, okay.
Good idea. You can try it. Yes, it might. Yep.
All right.
Okay, good luck with that, Suzanne.
This afternoon. Thank you, Judy, very much.
Let us know. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, 4921 6216. And we've got Jan from Belmont North, and she's trying to find a mixture for planting vegetable seeds.
Oh, you should be able to answer this. Greg, you grow chilies all the time.
Well, that's not vegetables, is it? That's vegetable.
Oh, Jan is splitting hairs there, isn't he?
I think it's a fruit.
A little bit.
Look, all you need to buy, there is a specific vegetable mix.
All right. So you're talking about a potting mix?
Yes.
I usually try to grow my tomatoes from seed. I try to grow my spinach from seed and whatever. And I use a seed raising mix.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to recommend. You're not having any luck with that?
Oh, I might be. And I've got a little hothouse as well that I put them in. But it's a bit hit and miss sometimes. And I'm just wondering if I should use a combination maybe of compost, maybe of mushroom compost.
Oh, Jan, look, I don't think you can go past the seed raising mix, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's what I would use myself. Maybe is it branding? Maybe change the brand?
I regularly do change the brand.
Right.
I just can't seem to find one that, maybe I don't have green fingers. Who knows?
Oh, no. Just look, sometimes it's how much you spend, unfortunately, Jan, on some of these potting mixes and, you know, seed-raising mixes.
Yes, but I learnt that lesson early.
So maybe go for a run to somewhere where you can buy some really upmarket, who's going to have an upmarket seed raising mix? But anyway, you know what I'm saying, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
And Judy, the other thing is, some things I try to do from, packet to plate, from go to woe. Am I better off using, putting them in little pots and trying to get them to grow and then transplanting, or planting them directly into the soil using a seed raising mix?
You could do that, Jan. That would be more successful.
Would it?
Yes, definitely. But, you know, a lot of people do plant in smaller pots. And, you know, if you're buying the plants already grown, remember they're in those little pummets.
That's right.
And then you've got to transfer them to the garden. So maybe try both ways and see how you go.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you, Judy.
Good luck
Thank
with
you
that,
very
Jan.
Much.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Bye.
So we've got Joseph from Islington. And it seems like he might have army grubs in his lawn.
Oh, hello. Hi, Joseph.
Hello, Judith. Yeah, we're having a few dramas with the army grubs.
Ah, have you definitely got army grubs?
Well, the lawn's going a nice shade of brown, so I guess that's what it is.
Could be, but are you seeing little dirt mounds?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, you may think this is silly, but when we get a lot of rain, the earthworms do that. They dig their way out to get some dryness.
Yeah, well, it's going a nice shade of brown, Judith, so I guess I thought it'd be army grubs.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've probably all gone to bed now because the hot weather's gone. Look, can I make a recommendation, Joseph?
Yes,
You know, I could be wrong, so I'm happy for you to ring me next week and say that didn't work.
Yeah.
Give me another answer. look, could you mix up some washing powder?
Yes.
In water, of course. And go out, and where you see any activity, just pour the washing powder over, particularly where you think they might be, and you need to make it a bit frothy.
Yeah, yeah.
soapy is the word we're looking for, And I think you'll find that those little army grubs might come to the surface and then go back into the garden.
Okay, I'll give that a try, Judith.
Yeah, please, because don't use a chemical, of course. We don't want to kill the army grubs. But that was one of my topics today, Joseph, because I know that they're coming out. They just hate the amount of rain we're getting, like I think we're all a bit sick of it. But, Joseph, give me a ring next week, will you please?
Certainly, yeah. My next-door neighbour's, his lawn's going completely brown, so we just figured it was an army grub.
Yeah, well, if it's not, well, okay, I'll probably have to come over and eat dirt or something.
Okay, I'll give it a try, Joseph, and I'll call you back.
Okay, next week, Joseph, I'll be waiting in anticipation.
Thanks for that, Judith.
Thank you, bye.
Well, we've got Chris now from Adderstown, and his vine on passion fruit starts to be ripening.
Well, it's a bit late, Chris, a bit late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember two seasons ago when that El Nino was on. I heard Scott on the radio. It was funny. I was about to ring up you guys and say what's going on with the passion fruits, and some other gentleman rang up and had the same problem, and Scott said I got the same problem.
Yeah, look,
and
I think
I got the red Penang ones.
Yes, right. See, well, they're very tropical.
Yeah.
You know, they need the warmth, and you know, I mean, we're not saying no to the rain, but certainly in Adamstown and in Newcastle City, we're getting those southerly storms all the time. And so late in the afternoon, of course, down it comes when we would be getting late afternoon sun. So I really think, Chris, that's the only problem we've got.
Is there any hope for writing them up? Because it's the best year I've ever had. There's probably 100 passion fruits on the vine.
Oh, no, really? Oh.
It's mega. Well, last year I had hardly any, and the year before was that weird season where they didn't ripen on the vine. I think out of 50 fruits, I probably got about half a dozen that are actually sweet.
Yeah, are they in the sun,
and
Chris?
And the bulk of them we ate in yogurt, like just plain yogurt with other fruit. And so it was a bit, a bit tangy, but you didn't mind if it was in the yogurt with the other fruit.
Yeah,
no.
Chris, is it planted in the sun?
Yeah, it's full sun.
Right, okay. Well, the sun's out today, so go out and say something nice to it.
Yeah.
Maybe hit it with some Flourish for fruiting.
Yeah, I've been watering it with the sea sole and it's what it's doing at the moment. It's packed with fruit, and then all of a sudden in the last week or two, it's just spat out like half a dozen flowers in each part of the vine, like nearly every day, and they've all turned into passion fruits. I've just got that many passion fruits.
Yeah.
And I've been keeping an eye on the very first ones. So they're the oldest ones.
And it's not ripening?
No, and they're still green.
Okay, we need to do something better. You need to get a product that is for fruiting, which you will find. It's called Flourish for Fruiting.
All right, yep.
And try that because, you know, I love sea salt. It's a great product, but it does, it acts on the root growth. And the other thing you could use is sulphate of potash, of course.
Yeah, I did put a big layer of early on, like last July or something, before the board started, you know what I mean, shooting again, because I usually cut it back to just some stems hanging out of the ground and then it just fully grows back.
Yeah, right. And
I did put some Osmocote on it.
And that's slow relief, Chris.
Mm.
But, Chris, you know passions don't have a long lifespan. How long has yours been in?
This is the third year for these. There's probably about three vines there
coming
out of the one spot, and they've taken over my whole shed.
well, that's where it's putting all its energy into, I think. But next season, coming up to spring, you will need to plant a new plant.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, good luck with that, Chris. I hope that helps.
I'll try Flourish and see if it does anything. But
Flourish for Fruiting. Okay.
Okay, thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got Helen now from Singleton, and her tomato plants seem to have flowers, but they're not producing any fruit.
Hi, Helen.
Good morning,
are you?
Judy. I'm well, thank you. I've just got oodles of flowers on, and I've even gone and put the stamens of other flowers into them to try and make them do something, but they're not doing anything. The flowers just wither and die.
That's no good. Yeah.
No, and I'm feeding them with sea salt, and I'm feeding them with Flourish, and I'm feeding them with what you just mentioned a few minutes ago, the flowering Tink, yeah. stuff.
Yeah. Oh, sulfate of potash, right?
Yes, I'm giving them that once a week, and they're thriving beautifully, but they're not producing. They're just sort of dying, and I thought surely you must know a secret of what I'm doing. I've even had the paint back out. I'm going from one to one and frying.
Okay, let's look at it. When you're using Flourish, are you using it for tomatoes?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you can get a really good Flourish, and it is designated for tomatoes. So firstly, we'd see if we can do that. Secondly, the sulfate of potash might be a little bit heavy once a week. Have you read the instructions on the packet?
Yes, but I don't make it up as strong as what it says.
All right, but let's cut that back down, because the tomato plants aren't silly, are they? They will know you're giving them that every week. So we really need to find the Flourish for tomatoes.
Okay.
Okay, try that, Helen, and let me know how you go.
All right, then. Thank you, Judy. Thanks.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks. You're welcome. Right. Bye.
Thanks. We've got time for a couple more calls. We've got Yvonne just in Wyong, and her impatience seems like something might be eating them.
Hello, Yvonne.
Hello, Judy. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're quite welcome, yes.
Okay, it's beacon impatiens,
yeah.
And I have them under netting, so they're getting half sun, half, shade
yeah.
cloth.
Yep.
Now, I bought a white one, and it was going really healthy and got a flower on it, but now it looks like it's either something was eating it or it's dying. Now, I've put snail bait down, and I've also sprayed it for insects and all of that, and I've actually fed it. Now, next to it, I also have the same thing, a patient's lovely big pink one, which seems to be going all right, but I was noticing on the thing here, it says something about downy mildew. What would that be?
Oh, downy mildew would be more a shriveling of the leaf.
All right.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, look, I have a leaf here that has a hole in it, and then around the edges of the leaf, it's sort of black.
Well, that could be a problem. It could be some kind of fungal disease, but downy mildew probably shrivels them. But Yvonne...
I tell you what they were doing, falling off. Like I went around and saw it, and like the leaves were coming off altogether.
Right, right.
And like when I bought it and it was there for a while, it was looking really good and had a flower coming out. And that was a white one. Then I've got a pink, and then I've got another one that's orange. It's not bad, but it looks like it's going similar to the same thing.
Right, Yvonne, you're describing to me the ones that I call New Guinea hybrids.
No, I didn't think it was that. This is called the beacon impatiens. I know what
the New Guinea
are saying
alike
to me.
Right,
they're very
right.
pretty too. Yes.
Yeah, but I find white can always be the difficult one.
Beg your pardon?
The white can always be the difficult one.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Look,
okay.
There isn't a lot you can do, but I'm wondering if you took that shade cloth cover off them and let more sun in, because they could be just rotting a little bit.
Right, and with all the wet weather.
Oh, yes, we've had a bit of that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Particularly in Wyong too.
It does have on the thing that, like, full sun and part sun.
Yeah, but,
so
you
I
know.
I wonder if I just take it out. It's not dead, but it's not healthy looking either.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'd be better to take it out and put it in the sun, in
Look,
the garden.
It won't hurt at all, Yvonne.
No.
It won't hurt at all. I mean, it can't get any worse than it is now, can
no,
it?
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I could save it. You never know.
You never know.
It's just going to keep losing its leaves. So I'll do that. I'll take it out and I'll put it around the back where it faces north.
Yeah, look, I'd take the whole lot out, actually.
Yes, that's what I was thinking I'd do.
Yeah, and put them in the sun, because we aren't getting hot sun now.
No, I realise that, yes.
So let's have a spin on that. Let's have a bet on that. Let's have a bet on that, Yvonne.
Okay. Anyway, I appreciate your help.
Oh, look, you're quite welcome. Please keep listening and ring us anytime. Let us know how they're going.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'll do that now this afternoon.
Oh, thanks, Yvonne. Bye.
Quickly, time for one more. We've got Jan from Cardiff, and all her vegetables seem to have little holes in their leaves.
Oh, hello, Jan. That's a problem.
Yes.
No grubs?
Tiny little pinhole sort of things all over the leaves. They're in the kale and the spinach and other things, yeah.
Right, okay, and you can't see any grubs?
No, can't see any grubs.
Because don't forget, they will go down in the soil and come up at night.
They will what? Sorry?
They'll go down in the soil and come up at night.
Oh, right, eh? Yes.
Yeah, so sometimes you need to go out with your torch at night and see what's happening out there.
Oh, it's not like it's things chewing around the edges or anything.
No, it's just little pinholes.
Yeah, it's all over the leaves.
Yeah, see, it could even be you could have a little visitor. I hate to say the the rat word.
Right.
But they will go for your vegetables, definitely. And also what about little possums?
Well, yeah, would they just put pinholes all over the
Well, they could be little bubbies, but I'd go out with your torch at night and just check, because we can't recommend what to put around them till we see what's actually eating them.
Oh, right, yeah.
So let's do that first and give us a ring next week, but I'm sure if you go out at night, you might get a bit more of a clue.
Find something, yeah, right.
Okay.
And I just wanted to ask you too about roses.
We're running out of time, sorry, Jan. You'll have to call back to us next week.
Oh, righto.
Ring next week, Jan. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.